Welcome, everybody, to another edition of The Owner's Box. I'm Billy Koch, the founder and managing partner of the Little Red Feather Racing Club. Joining me, as always, the very super cash in her little hoodie today, Michelle Yu.
Billy, it is raining so hard right now.
It's crazy. There's thunder by us. We just went outside. Is that a Keeneland, like, ripped hoodie?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
kind of dope.
Oh, you don't want to hear the drama.
We both have little wrist tattoos. Mine's backwards. It's 17. What's yours?
Mine's a pumpkin.
Why do you have a pumpkin on
and
your
on
wrist?
This side, it's a star, but it's being removed. And on the top, I have a ladybug that I match with my mom.
Why is the... Okay. Questions. Before we have a great show. Todd Wojciechowski is going to join us. Wojo is a very good friend. There's my guy. There's Spence. Wojo is the head guy. I don't even know what his title is, but he's the head guy at OBS. The OBS March sale has begun. The previews were yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
And tomorrow. I believe.
Then
have you been watching?
I've watched. Sale starts on the 12th. I am heading there on Sunday. Michelle is not going. So that's all you need to know for now. Yeah. And then Wojo is going to come on, tell us about what's new. I have a couple of interesting questions that I'm going to surprise you with, Michelle.
I've got some things he can lead us with too. So
you know that I don't usually prep, but today I do. Let's go back to your tattoos really quick. Explain why you have a pumpkin. Number one,
I like pumpkins. I like the color orange.
Okay. Number two, why are you getting the one removed?
Oh my gosh. Okay. When I was like 17 or so, I had two stars, right? And I hung out with this girl click.
Yeah.
And so we had XXX and 714 in the stars. Okay. Like 714, which is the area code for Orange County, because I hung out in Orange County. And like we had like shirts and hats and bikinis that all said this XXX 714, because we were like three X's,
What is XXX?
Well, that's obviously we came to learn that it was X rated, but we didn't mean to be X rated. We just it was representing us, the three of us like this.
Right. We're the X.
Yeah.
You weren't Vin Diesel.
No. So after I got older,
people out there got that
wiser, I started to get them removed.
So you have a bunch
of tattoos?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a lot of tattoos.
All right, one day we're going to do a tattoo show.
No, you know, when I used to bartend, I used to charge for that. If people want to see my tattoos, I charge them $50.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we'll put that on Twitter and see if anybody wants to pay you $50 to see your
tattoos. No, this is the deep dive of we can't use this show now in our Eclipse Award possibilities.
Sure we can.
Too bright.
Who cares?
It got too personal.
You know what the brilliance of this show is that it's just you and me being real. This is what this show is all about. We're going to get to Wojo in a minute. Let's talk about three things of note. Michelle, we had some big races over the weekend. Why don't you get us going and talk about what we're going to kind of discuss before Wojo joins in 8 minutes?
Yes. So obviously over the weekend, like you mentioned, we had some really big races and we had Derby points on the line. But I feel and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Yeah.
The Derby races were a little underwhelming because there were massive scratches.
Yeah, it was a weird weekend. A lot of horses scratched. I don't even want to go into it, to be honest with you. I think we should just focus on the horses that did run instead of the ones that didn't. On the West Coast, there was a huge day. San Anita Handicap Day was the San Felipe. And this is going to be a shock to you, Michelle. Ready for this? I want you to really prepare yourself. Are you sure you're ready? Nod. Blink if you're okay. Okay. Bob Baffert ran 1-2 in the San Felipe. I mean, shocked. Who would have thought that would ever happen?
Shocked. Bob Baffert also, in addition to running 1-2 of the San Felipe, but which, by the way, his horses were separated by a nose and they won by five.
Imagination.
He also won the Grade One Kilro Mile and the Grade One Santander Handicap presented by Yamaha.
What a big day. Let's talk a little bit about San Felipe quickly, because Imagination he's kind of a grinder. Looks like distance is not going to be a problem. He's part of the Matticat SF. Starlight, 19 other owners group. And then Wind Me Up is the Three Amigos. So both of them, you know, I kind of like Wind Me Up last year a little bit. It looks like he's going to be a pretty good three-year-old. I just think it's amazing. We talk about this every week. People are like, guys, stop saying it. But now we have Wind Me Up, Imagination. We haven't seen Prince of Monaco. We have Maymoon. We have Nysos. Yeah, Muth. I mean, that's six. Count them, six. Where would they be if the top 10 was made like right now and we could just include those horses in the Derby? Like they have
well,
to
be. Actually, okay. So now I think, let me see if it's still up. So I believe they have like two separate leaderboards at Churchill.
I love that.
Hold on. Let me see if there is. Because I swear I saw it. Okay, Derby horses. Oh, see, now they've taken it down. Okay, so now it just says American, Europe, and Japan. I swear the other day it said
American, Europe, Japan, and Baffert.
it was like entered horses or like uneligible or something like that.
Now it just says
American.
Time out. One quick question. Nysos didn't run.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke, there's fire, or do we see him in the Sanita Derby, or do we see him ship, or is there a problem?
I think you might see him in the Arkansas Derby, would be my guess.
Fair enough. Yeah. Just got a note from Wojo. He's on his way home. No problem. We'll keep talking. I'm saying just let us know when you're ready.
Tell him.
Here's the thing. Okay, so also, Sandy, the handicap. I really
what
like that.
Okay. What? So you got to tell me what happened to Newgrange. Was it just, does he not like the mile and a quarter?
There was an issue. And I don't want
breathing
to,
issue?
It could have been. That's a distinct possibility that is, I don't want to go on national, you know, this is national television. It will come out that he had a legitimate excuse.
So no Dubai World Cup for him.
At this point, I would venture to say it's very unlikely that we would go.
And do we need is this going to be a big layoff situation, or is this like a relatively easy fix?
I think it's a relatively easy fix. Okay. I think you're definitely on the right track. I'd prefer to leave it to the majority partners to come out with an announcement just because I don't feel right doing that. Just know that he did have a legitimate excuse, and we are going to hopefully fix it and get him back maybe for like the end of the summer, you know?
Okay.
Like
but now, so my problem was the mile and a quarter scenario with him, right?
Because
he flopped the handicap last year. So then it's like, not the classic Breeders Cup. Okay. So
had
it's not, all right. All right. I feel better.
Yeah, I do too. It was kind of disheartening because I think everybody really loves the horse.
Yeah.
He's one of those horses.
He's a fan favorite. You know what he is? He's a horse that's easily recognizable, which means your everyday fan can spot him and feel really connected to him. So like, that's the kind of horses we need in racing, right?
I agree. And that's what was so disheartening about it is I kind of knew right away that there was an issue. And, you know, when you're dealing with this kind of stuff, you also, it's not really about necessarily transparency. It's just about right after the race, you're a little down and you want to let the people enjoy their victory. And you don't want to start spouting off excuses and why this and why that. Like that, we didn't even want the attention. You know what I mean? And you have to respect. And plus, as a minority shareholder, you always, if you're in that situation, you have to defer to the majority of people and trainer Phil D'Amato and let them come out with an assessment. So you don't really, I just feel like that's how the best business practices are in those types of situations. But he's going to be fine. It's not a big deal. It just really affected him on that particular day. So
I could see that totally.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. And we turned the page. You made me look a little dumb in my CBS newsletter, but that's okay. It's all right.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. I mean, listen, I didn't know it was going to happen. So how would I know I would love to, you know, it is funny though, Michelle, as long as we're kind of just vibing here. It is rare for me, especially because I've been in this game for so long and I've had ups and downs and we've had everything that could go right and everything that could go wrong. And it's days like that, that you just, when you drive away from the track and you're driving home and you're just like kind of sitting in your car by yourself and you're just going,
shit,
how the fuck did that happen? Like, yeah, exactly. Like, fuck. you know, you're just like, it's one of those things, and you can't really, you have to stay up. And especially for people who run partnerships like myself, mm-hmm. you can't, you know, the people in your partnership group are going to kind of take on your lead. So you have to kind of try to stay positive, you know, even though you're boiling inside with, like, you know, just like frustration and anger, just but you have to kind of stay positive and put on a good face, and it's that can be a challenge sometimes. And to be honest with you, it was for me.
I bet
it was a long ride home. And you know what, it's also, you and I, we talked about Baffert early in the show, and you and I are pro Baffert. There's no question if people have listened to our show ever. But at the same time, there's also, when you see days like that, when he wins the Sanfilippo 1-2, he wins the big cap with Newgate, who is, I think, 850,000. It just also, it kind of gives you, you want hope. This game is about hope. And it kind of stomps on that, kind of mm-hmm. stomps on the guy, the little guys. And especially, we're going to talk about OBS with Todd Wojciechowski coming up. But it's like, I'm going to OBS this week. Am I going to buy a two-turn dirt colt?
Right. Yeah.
If I run in Southern California?
No, I'm going to find a dirt sprinting or a turf sprinting filly.
Exactly. That's the best thing you could possibly look for. It's really true. We've talked about it before.
Well, I told you my Baffert story last year, where I was all excited about my $75,000 Medaglia d'Oro. And Bob's like, oh, what'd you buy? And I was like, oh, what'd you buy? And he's like, oh, this one. It was Moose.
Yeah, 2 million. Anyway, so that's my early. It's a little early today for my soapbox, but I went with it. So you know, it's a lesson. It's a lesson, I think, for everybody in this game, because there's a lot of people who believe me, spend a lot more money than we do, and have more horses than we do, and have better horses, and have worse horses, whatever the case may be. When you go into a race, and you just afterwards, you just disappointment, mm-hmm. and it's how you get through that. Yeah. How do you talk to yourself? What is that inner strength that you have to say, okay, you know what, that happened, I'm done, I'm moving on, and we're gonna get right back to it tomorrow morning. We got a bunch of workers, then we're excited. I mean, the new book came out for Santa Anita, and we've been so quiet this year, and now we have, like, all our races were there in this book.
Right.
So it's like going to be one of those things, like, come on now, let's get there, you know. And of course, now it's pouring rain.
I want to, like, take you outside to show you the rain. Like, it is so crazy out here.
It's nuts.
I keep looking because I'm, like, checking my car to, like, make sure it's not ruined by the hail.
What else? We talked a little bit about Santa Anita. The other
other Derby prep races were the Coolmore Fountain of Youth down at Gulfstream, which is won by Dornock, who I think was the implied winner, but obviously the race on paper did lose a couple of fresher faces. I think would have been really interesting in that race.
I like that Jason Worth is involved in Dornock, player mm-hmm. for the Phillies. I think that's always good when you get someone like Jason. We should probably try to get him on our show.
You do better with the celebrities, so you have to do that.
Okay, I'll try to get a hold of Jason Worth and get him on here. No problem.
And then the Gotham Stakes went to Deterministic, which was a really, really good effort, I thought, from that horse. He's, you know, one turnover there at Aqueduct, and Joel Vasario went in to ride for St. Elias and a couple other people in there. Christophe Clement trains. And, you know, Christophe has had a pretty long and pretty good career. And I don't think he's had a derby horse that I can think of. Has he had a derby horse?
I'm sure he has, but I don't know. I don't know.
Now I gotta look. I don't think he has.
Yeah, they were going crazy. I thought that was a really good race too, Michelle. It's just very hard to judge those races when they're on the slop like that. It's some horses love it and some horses hate it. In fact, I was with Ricky Gonzalez yesterday, and it was pouring rain, and Ricky was saying, we were talking about riding. Oh,
but what's he doing if there's no golf?
We were playing golf. We played golf in the rain.
In the rain?
Yeah, pouring rain. And but I asked him about riding in the rain, and he said it's really amazing because then, first of all, the noise, the clap a clap, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
you know, that didn't really sound like noise, but he said, and then you can kind of instantly tell if your horse likes it or not. And said it's so great when they love it, like it, because they just go. It's terrible when they hate it. It's awful. So it's ironic that it's pouring rain and and we were talking about that.
Well, Kristoff's won the Belmont, but I don't think he's had a Derby horse.
Who did he win the Belmont with?
Tonalist.
Oh, Tonalist, yeah.
Didn't he win the Belmont?
I think so, yeah. I don't know. I used to get him and there's one other horse confused that was very much like Tonalist. Do you ever get horses confused?
All the time. All the time.
You do? Yeah. Hey, you know, Derby is what? 2 months away.
Yeah.
Are you going again and doing the seminar do you not even know your plans yet?
I don't know my plans yet, but I'm going to, you mean the TaylorMade one?
Yeah.
Yeah, not that I know of. Did it a couple of years because I was out there doing other gigs. And so right. It like slid in really nicely. It's really hard for me just to go out and then, you know, get back for the races here and get a sitter and everything. So
will you be at Keeneland at all?
Not that I know of, unfortunately. Okay. Now it's not unheard of that I might get tabbed for something last minute because that happens for me a lot, but I don't have any plans.
I'm going to be at Keeneland for the first 2 weekends.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah.
It's going to be really fun.
I'm hoping somehow I can end up at OBS in April.
Okay.
Because
after the second weekend.
Yeah. And it's like the week that we're on break at Santa Anita. Yeah,
the break from Santa Anita is April 8th through the 18th.
Yeah. So, and the sales date there, I think, is like 16th through 19th or 17th through 19th or something like that. Yeah. So it works really well if I can get someone to watch my kids that I can do OBS.
Is there a child behind you right now in the blur?
No, that's a dog.
Oh, it's a dog.
Okay. Yeah, Gaston.
Would Ryan Hansen allow you to share a hotel room with me if on last minute in OBS?
I don't know about that. Huh? What do you think, Gaston?
Who is that?
That's Gaston.
Oh, Gaston. Isn't he cute? Does he sing Beauty and the Beast songs?
No, he's a villain, though. That's why his name's Gaston.
Now, did we replace the dog that passed recently?
Yeah. Well, no, not recently. I just said he's on the verge of dying. The one that died this summer, this is the replacement.
Yeah, that's the replacement. Okay, Gaston.
The twin.
And he is Frenchie. So we talked about tattoos, Frenchies.
This is like a date night, I feel like.
Sharing a room at OBS. This is a great show.
All right. Let me tell you real quick some other things that are going on in racing now, because this is like breaking news on the Blood Horse. Wow.
Yeah.
The long-running dispute between Nick Ruiz and the CHRB is fully and finally resolved. So the CHRB are actually paying Nick Ruiz $300,000 as well as disqualifying. Yes.
Oh, wow.
So he's disqualified. They're disqualifying Justify. There's a purse redistribution. So Ruiz, this is all I'm recapping from Dick Downey's article that just got posted on the Blood Horse.
Okay.
So Ruiz sued the CHRB in 2020, after Justify tested positive for scopolamine.
Right.
And the suit was precipitated because the CHRB decided not to take action in a closed meeting. So then this judge took matters into his own hands about the suit. Because the CHRB said other horses had tested positive at the same time. And so it was an environmental contamination. But this judge said, I say nay, nay. And he ordered the stewards disqualify, I say nay, nay.
There was this massive thunder.
Yeah, it's crazy over here. Yeah. So the settlement is made without an admission of wrongdoing or liability. And the parties stipulated it resolves all aspects of the case, including but not limited to Ruiz's claims for attorney fees. So he gets $300,000 as well as the race distribution. So that's the race was worth over $1 million, right? So he gets $600,000 for being the winner, and he had gotten $200,000 for the runner up. So he gets an additional $400,000 there. So that's a pretty nice.
Do the other guys who did the owners of Justified now have to come up with $400,000 to?
It says on here the agreement on its face is not binding to the then owners of Justify, which include China Horse Club, Head of Plains Partners, Starlight, and Windstar. So they also retain the right, presumably, to appeal the steward's ruling.
Interesting. Maybe we should get a lawyer on here to figure out how that goes down.
Well, Daryl Vanna would be obviously the guy to bring on. He was the lawyer on the case there, and he kind of picks up everybody's everybody's stuff.
Yeah, maybe we should get him on.
Yeah.
Is Wojo in the room?
Let's see.
He's not in the waiting room. Okay. All right. Let's keep going.
Okay. So
what else we have at the end of the show that we always do that we could do at the beginning of the show?
Our
so
San Anita, what's coming up at San Anita thing. But well, I guess I'll tell you what's coming up at San Anita. We've got 3 days of racing, right? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. On I have to say the racing this weekend, Friday's a little on the light side. The Saturday card is
nice.
Good. Yeah, it's good.
Nice. The Beholder Mile. Who do you like in there?
I don't even know because I've been I always pick a Dare Manor and I always pick Desert Dawn. So now what do I do when they have to face each other? We pick found nine fillies to run in this race. So amazing. It looks like a really interesting race.
They got two shippers.
Yeah, Green Up for Pletcher, right? I don't really know much about her. And then Interstate Daydream.
Yeah, she's good. Right? She used to be with Brad Cox.
Yeah. So she's Pletcher too now.
Yep.
So we've got those two for Pletcher. We've obviously got a Dare Manor. We've got Coffee in Bed, who was second in the La Cañada. We've got Desert Dawn, who won the La Cañada. Mm-hmm. Finally gave me a win. Mm-hmm. Sweet F Tekka, that Michael McCarthy filly that ran off the field.
She's one of the now horse. She's only had like three lifetime starts.
She just has to go. She has to turn, right? She can't lug out. She's got, she's super fast, but she's got room to grow. Yeah. We've got Kirsten Bosch, Turn Loose, and Window Shopping.
Yeah, interesting field. Should be a good race.
I think that's a great field to put together.
That's on Saturday at Santa Anita.
Yeah, that's Saturday. And then obviously we do have racing on Sunday as well. Oh, in addition, Saturday, we have the San Simeon and the Santa Isabel. And then on Sunday, we have the China Doll.
Three good races. A lot of good racing at Santa Anita this weekend. Let's hope the rain finally stays away for a little bit.
The track is open for training. They originally had closed the track this morning and said joggers on the training track only. And then last night they were like, never mind, which was great because we didn't have a drop of rain all day.
Right.
So horses were able to train.
How is the synthetic training track so far, in your opinion?
I haven't been on it at all. I've asked Ryan about it. And he said some horses get over it like they're floating and some horses really struggle. But I think that's kind of how synthetics always have been, right? Like horses love it and some horses don't. I mean, it's very similar to a turf horse getting on the main track. Like some of them are fine and some of them are just like slugging through heavy mud. I talked to obviously Jess on the show and Millie on the show, and they both said it's a little on the sticky side right now, but it's fresh and it does need to settle. And the people behind
it
have
said breezers. They're not allowing breezers yet.
Yeah, because it needs to settle. So what happens is when you install these fresh tracks, right? They've got to like find themselves. So right now they're a little, I don't want to say uneven, but they're certainly packed down more in areas than they are in other spots because it's all fresh. It's got to have that like constant use before it's like perfect. And there's,
that makes
no
a lot of sense.
No funky spots. So I think that's such a smart move for them to allow it to settle. Plus the wax that they put in it is actually like really tempered for the hotter weather that we have down here. And I think that's going to help it like bind together a little bit more to itself. But because maybe we haven't been as hot, there's a chance that, it's getting a little bit more kickbacky than normal. So overall, I think that it's a nice adjustment period. Also, we don't want horses to go breeze right away. I mean, obviously this is a new synthetic, but I remember when I worked for Asmussen and we sent horses to Presque Isle and we sent them over there and ran races or, sent them over for work and they had never been on synthetic before. And they had all kinds of things come back funny. Their hind end got pulled. They pulled a glue. Yeah. They had a soft tissue injury because the muscles you use on it are really different. So I think it's super smart for them not to just go and say, hey, everyone gung ho, come work on the brand new surface.
Real quick, before we get to Wojo, he's jumping on this chat right now. I don't know if you saw your text, but did you see the renderings of Belmont Park?
Yeah.
They're pretty cool, right?
It looks like Arlington.
It looks nice. It looks like they're going to be, I know there was a lot of people who were like, no, we like the way Belmont Park is. Like, please stop it. Stop. I mean, they're doing millions and millions of dollars of renovations to make it a really nice place to go to.
Yeah.
And so let's get behind that rather than say, we can't change Belmont Park. Like, that's ridiculous. If someone said right now, like, hey, Santa Anita's getting a facelift, like, you wouldn't be like, oh no. Like,
well, to be fair, most of Santa Anita does not need a facelift. I'll say the bowels could use some freshening.
I'm just saying.
But Belmont was tired.
Yeah.
Look, it had some beautiful brick and there were like some nice signs, but it was tired overall.
I agree. All right.
Todd Gary, ready?
All right, here we go. There he is. My guy.
Billy and I had to talk to each other for like 30 full minutes right now.
Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry.
It was bad. I did a little soap.
You should hear all the things that Billy knows about me now.
What's going on? How were the first 2 days of the Breeze Show at OBS, my friend?
That was great. You know, unfortunately, we had a little bit of a headwind. No, not a little bit. We had a pretty stout headwind yesterday.
17 to 20 miles.
Yeah. So, but still, we had a good Breeze Show. Today, we totally flipped around. We had beautiful weather. Yesterday, you know, threatening rain all day. Fortunately, we dodged the rain, but didn't dodge the headwind. Today, we had, you know, sunny skies and we had a tailwind. So, everybody was a lot happier today.
You know, and it's interesting that you say that because a lot of people who you talk to, they'll say, oh, you know, the times don't really matter, right? Like we were there on, we know that that horse breezed on day one and there was a headwind, but then all of a sudden when it gets to sale time, everyone's like, whoa, that horse breezed 10 and 2. Like maybe that's too slow. You know, they forget that, Woj. How do we handle that kind of situation?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I think that's human nature, right? The time is a very easy metric to focus on.
Sure.
Because a lot of the other stuff that the intangibles that make a horse a great horse sometimes aren't so obvious. So I think as human nature, we tend to, you know, kind of gravitate towards those easy metrics to see. I think we keep pointing towards the horses that go and perform year in and year out that didn't necessarily have the fastest breeze. You know, right away, I'll point to White of Barrio, who was a 10-2 breezer that, yep, you know, won the Breeders' Cup, unfortunately, you know, didn't perform as well as they had hoped in the Saudi Cup, but, you know, still a very accomplished horse and not the fastest breeze of that sale by any means.
If you were buying a horse next week, and I will see you on Sunday, talk to us a little bit about like you're in it. I mean, you're in the inside baseball here, Woj. What would be your process for someone out here who's maybe listening to the show, thinking about going to OBS, or even people down the road, they might go to April, whatever it is. What would be your process?
Well, I do believe that there is a wealth of data and information available to buyers. Mm-hmm. You have to go seek some of it out. Certainly time is a component, but I think it needs to be weighed with other factors such as how that horse moves, pedigree, propensity for speed versus distance. I think all of those are, you know, there's a cost-benefit analysis that goes sure with it, and a weighing of all of those. And that mixture is, you know, that's the secret sauce. And I don't know if I had the secret sauce, I wouldn't be the director of OBS. I'd be buying horses like you guys.
Yeah, because Michelle and I have the secret sauce for sure. Let me tell you something. It's hard.
I will let you in on this secret. I don't think anybody has the secret sauce.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think a lot of it's luck by it. Anyway, you've made some changes. I just went on yesterday because we started and I saw the new website, which is fantastic. You put a lot of time into that. Tell us a little bit about some of the benefits of the new OBS website.
Well, it allows you to look at a lot more information in a lot of different ways, some kind of advanced sortability and filtering, a little more detail, horse detail located in one area.
Right.
I just think it's kind of a more up-to-date look and feel.
I like it. I thought it was a good look. It takes a second to get used to, but
it is different.
Here we go.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, Michelle is getting really good at this StreamYard stuff. So basically, you choose a horse. Here's hip number one. And if you look over on the right, you see an image. Stay there, Michelle. And you could go right to the video. The Undertak video is right there. Boom. And you watch that. Look at that.
Yep.
So that's if Cock Campbell was still around, he'd buy this filly.
By the way, if I'm going to make a complaint, it's that it just says like what direction the wind, but it doesn't say if it's headwind or tailwind because I don't know directions.
Ah, fair enough. So
fair enough.
A wind out of the, that's a good point, Michelle, and I will definitely.
Yeah, that says like wind from the southwest, but I don't know what that means.
Oh, right. There you go.
Southwest is a headwind.
And I do okay. like, and
out of the west is a headwind.
I think you and I have spoken about this before. You have a great walking video on here a lot. Most of them, I don't
right
know if
here.
All of them have it, but you have a great walking video because I think one of the things is not all owners can get to
this
the
This really doesn't have a very good walk though.
Hey, Michelle, we're not critiquing.
Not my favorite walk. Sorry. Okay.
Go back up. But
okay, can I say I like this? So then you can like do this and the next one comes up on the same page right here.
Oh, how did you do that?
So you go right here. So you can do like, and it'll give you your next like four all right here on the same page with your, and it's obviously changing this too. So I love this layout.
That. And then
isn't
also
that great? Can,
yeah, that is nice. And then you can, you also can make this to a short list. I think on the upper right, I think I did that.
So if you go to the filter, you can actually filter. Yep.
Add to short list. Right there, and then you can go use shortlist.
Look at you.
I've been all over this website today.
I really like this. I really like it, Wode. What are there anything else?
No, go back. There you go. If you go over there to the right as well by the filters, there's another drop down, the box beside it, that you can change your filters. But if you scroll down a little further, you can also select the columns you see in that sortable index. So if there's some data to try to shrink it down to
That's so great.
The data that's not very of interest to you, you can uncheck it and that it falls out of that column.
Super.
Oh, really nice. That's
and
really
then of course
nice.
the traditional shortlist star right here, right?
And then all of that, if you click the download button, which is there to the right of the filter button, you can
right
download. Download that into a CSV or a PDF or your short list or however you may have it filtered. And that also has all the breeze times, the day they breeze, all of that. It'll download it into a CSV for you.
Very nice job, Wojo. A lot of information on here, easily sortable. I think you guys did a really good job here. Is there anything else new to OBS in 2024 that we need to know about?
New in 2024. Well, yeah. Well, we've added, not really racing related, but we added a poker room.
Oh,
we have poker in between bidding on horses.
Is it like
is
a that, real poker room?
Yeah, is that real poker or is it video poker?
No, it's real poker. No, I think we have 30 some odd tables.
Ryan's going to be so excited. I have to tell him right
amazing.
Now.
So you could just go and join a game?
Yeah. Yep, you can go online, you can get in a waiting room, you know, waiting list for specific games. I'm not a poker player, but they have a variety of different types of poker games that you can join at different tables. And they have some what we call bank card games where you can play Pai Gow, three card poker, or even war. I think we call it one card poker, but it's
oh,
like
war. It's like a casino. So you have a casino.
Well, we don't have table games and we don't have slot machines or anything like that.
All right. But is there a rake?
But actually in the building right alongside the racetrack. So as you're watching the Undertak show, you know, in between sets, you can jump down, play a few hands of poker and go right
That's
back.
Amazing. Was that McCrocklin's idea?
Yeah. Well, he's busy on the ITW side.
Sure. Yeah, he does do that. Todd Wojciechowski joining us from OBS.
Todd, I know that there's a lot of perks that you offer owners that are there. Can you just tell us some of the things that you can do for people coming into town? Like, I'm pretty sure you guys have booked hotel rooms even.
Sure, we help a lot. We help people a lot with booking hotel rooms.
At a discount.
busy time, even though some people call it slow calla, it's a busy time of the year here. There's a lot of things going on, other horse interests that are in town, between WEC and other venues, they're having horse related events. So hotel rooms do fill up. We work hard to try to help and work with our buyers in getting them lined out and finding accommodations while they're here. You know, as far as arranging rides from the airport, and then helping with reservations at places to eat in town and things to do while they're here.
I mean, a full-on concierge service.
Even went so far last year as we had some Japanese buyers come to town, and the owners came with the buyer. They had a young child, and we arranged childcare for their
child. Wow. Look at you, Woj.
That is full-on concierge service. Yeah. And I love also that if you go to the OBS website again, there is a list of hotels that actually show the under-tack videos in the hotels.
Yes, we have, there's probably 8 or 10 hotels in the area that we run our under-tack videos on during the day, whether it's at the bar, at the Hilton, or in your room. They're in-house.
I love it.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit to what's a very kind of important topic, I think. There was a case recently, I believe in New York, with Engelhart, with a horse that may have had a certain substance at a sale, and then it got ultimately stayed with the horse. You know what I'm talking about.
I'll explain the situation. Okay, Jeremiah Engelhart had a horse come in, and they had purchased it out of an in-training sale. The horse ended up injured or being euthanized, and they tested it, and it tested positive for clenbuterol, which he said he never administered. They were able to utilize a hair test on both that horse, another horse purchased at the same sale, and the hair test can date back kind of like how far back the clenbuterol was given, and they were able to predate it to when he purchased the horse. So before he bought the horse has been when it had been administered. So he was, you know, he was given a leeway on that.
So I guess my question is, Woj, what is OBS specifically doing to prevent a case like this? As far as what kind of drug testing are you guys doing? I know there are options for an owner who buys the horse to do some testing. Can you go into that a little bit?
Sure. So I don't know if I can address specifically the Engelhart case because I don't know it intimately. And I think as an industry, we need to be careful and make sure we're dealing with facts and not hearsay and what this guy said, that guy claims, and this, what have you. You know, we do offer, we do testing at the under-tack show. We test approximately 20% of the horses that participate in the under-tack show or that are in the sale. They are submitted to subjected to a blood test, testing for prohibited substances, and all of this can be found in our conditions of sale on our website, in conditions of sale, and our medication policies are on our website for everyone to see. Signer section, you'll see a link for the medication policies. But for a number of prohibited substances that include clenbuterol, medroxyprogesterone, any class one, class two medications that are, you know, narcotics and stuff like that, you know, the hard stuff. So we test for all anabolics. We do test for that at the under-tack show. And then as a buyer, you have the ability to check at when you sign the buyer's acknowledgement. You can elect to have a blood test drawn there for the same type of things, undisclosed medications, prohibited substances, anabolic steroids, and then as well as bisphosphonates.
Would you recommend that? As I get that question all the time. You bought a horse, your heart's pounding, I'm shaking, signing the ticket. And then it's like, do I want to do a blood test? And like, part of me is like, yes, I probably should to cover my own ass. And then part of me is like, am I really going to do this now? What's your recommendation on that?
That's a hard question, Billy. I think that's an individual question.
Yeah.
I think that's a question that each individual has to come to on their own.
Okay.
I don't, I'm not passing.
It's like $500, right?
Yes. That's something that no judgment on whether someone does or doesn't. That's their personal choice, and that's up to them.
Billy, okay. Have you ever?
Yeah, I think I've done it. I honestly can't. I think I do it. I mean, if you're spending that kind of money that anyone's spending, whether it's $50,000, $25,000, $100,000, mm-hmm. You know, $500,000, to spend $500 to make sure that their test is good, if it's, I think it's probably worth it. I would do it. I mean, I think.
You know, the other part of it, Billy, is I think all of this will be evolving you know, Heise's role in racing has started to evolve and becomes more and more prominent. All of these things will evolve.
Well, you look at, if you read about our industry on Twitter, which is probably not a great thing for anybody to read, but you know, you might say that we're in decline. I mean, and that there's nothing. You know, you talk about living in the world of facts, but yet here we are at this 2-year-old sale, and there are going to be horses sold for $1 million and $1.5 million, and it's going to be skyrockets right next weekend or next week. Like, how do we justify this? How do we tell people, like, hey, there are people spending to get these horses?
I think the answer for me is, and if I had a magic wand, I would bottle that feeling one gets when your horse is at the 16th pole and is just stuck ahead in front.
Mm-hmm.
You got a shot to win, or is closing on the leader, or that horse that you've raised or that you bought is in the sales ring and the price starts climbing to the point where you're delirious. Those feelings are what we're all after. We are an industry of optimism. Mm-hmm. I've always said, because there's a lot of glass half empty moments in this game, mm-hmm. but we're all looking for the next glass half full moment. So I think, you know, if there's a way, and you know, there's a lot of people with a lot more marketing and technical skills than me. If we could figure out a way to communicate that better to the masses, I think it would be a good thing. And again, we've all heard this that are in the industry. We know the level of care that goes into all of these horses, and we know the amount of human toll, sweat, toil that goes in to making sure those horses are as cared for as best they can. I don't know, maybe we need to try to get those people on the backside and spend the day following trainers, grooms, hot walkers, jockeys around for a day to say, yeah. My goodness, I can remember years ago, my mother trained at the track, and I remember years ago, she hired a kid over the summer, and he was in college, but he was looking for a summer job. And he'd been there about a week, and he was exhausted. He just whooped. And he said, my goodness, he said, I don't know how I could have never imagined the level of physical effort that goes into taking care of these horses.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, and it's worth it.
You know, that I wish we could do a better job of. We can tell each other about it, but for some reason, there's an air gap between us and the public in trying to get that across.
I agree, Michelle.
Todd, I want to just talk about the sale in general, because I feel like everyone is like gearing up for the March sale, and we all get so excited, right? We're all like, "Oh my gosh!" It's like you can't wait to watch the under tack videos and everything. Comparatively between this sale, the April sale and the June sale, what do we see, like a difference in buyers for each of these sales?
I would say in years past, and when I say years past, you know, in the old style of the sales, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, years ago, March was a select sale. April was the open sale. Mm-hmm. nowadays, you know, March, April, and June are all open sales. And truthfully, they're set up, and this is what we tell people when we go look at their stock at their farm. If you have a horse that you thought the sale, you know, if the sale was tomorrow, I'd be happy. My horse is ready. He's ready to go. That's a March horse. Mm-hmm. If you have a horse that you say, hey, you know, he's a couple weeks away from being really ready to show himself at his best, that's an April horse. And if you have one that's a May foal and needs some time and he's a little immature, but the light bulb just hasn't gone off yet, and you're starting to see it coming, well, that's a June horse. And I think the results of the horses that have come out of March, April, and June have demonstrated that. I mean, you see quality graded horses coming out of March, April, all three sales. And they're really, I think the sellers have gotten accustomed to that, and they've done a really good job of putting their horses in sales for what they're ready for.
That makes a lot of sense. I thought it was interesting, Michelle. Let me jump in there because, Woj, you said something that I don't think people know, is that leading up to this sales season, your team goes to these consigners' farms and goes and kind of inspects and looks at all the horses. Can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Well, yeah, we do. We go around not only at the farms here looking at the horses that are being entered for our two-year-old sales. You know, we're going to sales. We're going to weanling sales. We're going to yearling sales all over the country. We lay eyes on as many horses as we can. We keep notes on all of those horses. We keep a database because it is you look at a horse one time and that's a really small snapshot in time of that horse. And if you have a few snapshots through its life, you can see, hey, this horse has really changed a lot the last couple of times we've looked at him. So it's very helpful for us to get our eyes on as many horses as we can and try to have a communication, a level of communication and open dialogue with the sellers to say, hey, you know, this is what we think. This is where we think these horses fit. What do you think? You know, one of the things, I used to sell horses before I started working for OBS, and I tell this story a lot. You know, I'd have a barn full of horses, and when I first started with OBS, I started on their inspection team, and I'd be at my barn, and I'd say, that's a good horse right there, man, that's a good horse. And then I got to go with the inspection team and look at horses all over the county, and then all of a sudden I realized that might be a good horse in my barn, but that ain't the best horse out there.
Yeah.
Eye-opening experience for me to say, hey, you know what? Just because I have an opinion where this horse, where I think how good he is or where he fits, I might be smart to listen to the guys that are looking at horses all over the county.
That's a great point.
I also feel like it's incredible looking at OBS because I think naysayers like, oh, well, horses are never going to run this fast again, right? As they do in the other tack show. But when you look at the horses that get sold and then you look at what they do, it doesn't matter because it's not like every horse that sells through here is a 5-furlong turf sprinter, right? They're winning classic races. Look at White Abario. They're winning races later in the year. They're winning dirt, turf, long, short. I mean, they're winning at everything. So it doesn't, like, the naysayers have to just move on, right? Like, this is a sale that you can buy any type of horse from.
That was Michelle trying to get a job with OBS to just promote it because
last week we talked about the Saudi horses, and I think there were three or four that were OBS grads, and they're running on an international level. And it's pretty incredible.
That wasn't unique to this year.
Yeah.
They do it year in and year out. They do it all over the world. The one thing that I would say, you know, I try to point out some obvious things sometimes that kind of get lost when we start talking about that. Two things that I would point out. One, we talk about they'll never run that fast again in their life. And you're right. If you go to the races, you're not going to see a horse that's running in a race running an 8th and 9 4/5 or 10 flat or something like that. But I would also say to you, in the way the under tack show is structured, those horses, and we'll just choose an 1/8 mile as an example, those horses are getting a running start at the pole. They don't ever start again at a pole. You start in a race. The fastest quarter is going to be the first quarter, and that's from a standstill. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that has to be taken into account when you're talking about the speed at the under tax shows. These horses are getting a running start at the pole. So that's quite a change what the clock looks like a lot. The other thing something that kind of came up today in a conversation, they talk about the speed with which the horses are breezing, particularly at our facility right now, because we had a very fast day. A lot of times we're thinking of it in the terms of a dirt track. Mm. And you guys and I know that if you have a dirt track that is really, really fast, that means it's hard, right? That's not the case with the synthetic track. These horses actually are coming back off this track as good or better than when they went on. So that different surface is a factor. And truthfully, a running start at the pole, I think, makes a big difference.
Yeah.
That's a very, very valid point. Very valid point. What give us one thing that you're really looking forward to next week. You've done this. How many, first of all, how many years is this for you?
This is my, I think my 14th year at OBS.
Wow. Do you get, I'm going to ask two questions.
I don't count all the years I did inspections. So it's probably
sure, but like, do you get, I know there's a lot on at stake right now, especially during the Breeze show. You want everything to go well. You want all the horses to come out well. We're talking about safety, and you've been a great supporter of aftercare as well. Michelle, last year, Wojo did help us with Karma. We did some fun things. We did a vest. That's awesome. Did some hats. But Woj, like, are you more nervous for the Breeze show? Or are you more kind of nervous for the sale?
Oh, I don't know that I'm nervous. I would say anxious. I'm always anxious. So, personally, my goal is to provide every seller the opportunity to display the horses that they have in their best light, right? So I want to try to have a fair surface or a fair track. The one thing, again, we breeze more horses than any other sales company in the world. Mm-hmm. No in the world are there more two-year-olds breezed over more days than at OBS every year. For example, this Breeze show is 4 days. April, there'll be 7 days. June will probably be 6 days. So our goal from the under tax show is, one, for it to be safe, and two, is for whatever day on which you sell, and whether it's early in the morning or later in the afternoon, day one to day seven, to give you the best opportunity to show your horse. So that's my goal. And we're, everybody, again, they focus on time sometimes too much. So we're always constantly trying to make sure that we're taking care of the racetrack in the most optimal way to balance between showing your horse off and it being a safe surface.
So that's, has anyone ever asked to be like, can I breeze again? Like their horse was bad, like naughty, like didn't, want to get into stride or something. Like, has there ever been a shot where they're like, can I go one more time?
Have a takeover.
That has been asked. They have asked for do-overs, and we don't allow do-overs.
Could you imagine if you went to like work your horse and like he started to like buck down the stretch instead? Exactly. You're like, can I have a do-over?
They are horses.
That would be your horse.
Yeah.
Michelle, actually, you know whose horse that would be? That would be like when you and I decide to do a yearling together and hook it, and we'd spend like $25,000, and then we'd like get the horse ready.
And work like lights out like four times at home, and we send it there, and it like, and start to buck down the lane.
Exactly. All right. Well, a couple of our questions. Is the snow cone machine back this year? Because last year, I think we didn't really have a good ice cream snow cone machine set up.
Yeah, unfortunately, we lost the ice cream truck, and the snow cone was kind of a not a great substitute.
Snow cones?
No, the ice cream truck was great. What about like maybe a healthy, like a frozen yogurt type thing, something, Because you want that afternoon snack after by the way, the food at OBS is outstanding.
Oh my gosh, the tuna sandwich at OBS
is very good.
Yeah.
I ate it every day last year.
Good.
Yeah, we're well. Listen, looking forward to seeing you and everybody there. We hope you have a safe and huge sale, and we appreciate you spending the time as always, Woj. And you know we're big fans of OBS, and we hope you have a wonderful sale. And we'll do, you know, maybe we'll do a little something before April too, so we can kind of recap March and then do April.
That'd be great. Look for. I always enjoy visiting with you guys.
All right,
thank you so much.
Here on the Owner's Box, we are going to see Wojo next week, and we appreciate it. Get out of here.
Take care.
All right, Woj. So that was
Billy,
good. That was
fun. What sire is going to be the big sire for this sale? Freshman sire.
Can you give me like four? I haven't really watched the breezes yet, but go ahead. Give me four of them, and I'll choose. Authentic. McKinsey,
improbable,
authentic, improbable,
chance a lot,
chance,
volatile.
I expect the volatiles to be fast because he was so fast. I would say McKinsey. We have a McKinsey filly that is just outstanding that we bought as a yearling, and I hear really good things about the McKinseys. I think that's the road. That would be my bet. And I don't know the odds or anything. Like, you made odds and we chose, but I would go McKinsey. You're nodding your head like you're in agreement. Do we miss someone that's like big? I feel bad now. We should ask.
Let me look real quick. I mean, you told me to do it like off the top of my head. So let me look real quick. Let me look at the sire.
You should ask Wojo about that. That was dumb.
I know. And I was going to, but then I didn't know
how long we could catch him on. Yeah.
Matoli, Midshipman, B Jersey, Higher Power. He's fresh this year, right? Complexity.
I like Complexity.
Honest Mischief. There's a sire named Breaking Lucky.
Breaking Lucky. Oh, I don't know. Interesting.
Echo Town. Echo Town's first year, I believe.
I like McKenzie.
I still like McKenzie too. Tom's de Ta. I think people like the Tom's de Ta's.
I have not heard one thing. I do like Complexity. I want to say that I like Complexity.
Okay.
I could be very wrong.
Sire named Curlin's Honor.
No. I think, you know, there's a horse like Gunrunner. Is he pretty good?
I mean, yeah, but I'm talking about first years, like Thousand Words, first year.
It was a joke.
Global Campaign. He's first year, right?
All right, let's wrap this thing up. I got to go get something to eat. I'm starving.
You didn't like 50 cents. Okay, if you guys, before we started, what? Billy's like, if we keep this like 25, 30 minutes, we're good. It doesn't have to be an hour. 57 minutes and 37 seconds, my friend.
Wait, oh, Wojo just got back to me. Said McKinsey was all over the press release yesterday. Mm-hmm. Today it was improbable.
Well, because Billy worked the bullets.
Yeah. Today it was improbable.
Okay.
Okay. So that's okay. Right from Woj. All right, buddy. When am I going to see you? I'm not going to see you.
Not for weeks because you're leaving.
Yeah, I'll leave.
And you're not going to be at the races this weekend.
No, next weekend. And I don't know if we're going to do a show next week. We have to decide.
Called the sale.
I'm going to be at the sale.
Well, maybe we can do
something. We'll find time at the sale.
On the 13th, I'm going to Madonna.
You're going to see Madonna? Strike a pose.
Vogue. Olivia loves Madonna.
What's your favorite go-to Madonna song if you had to have one?
Material Girl.
Really?
Oh my, that's so good.
Okay, let's go out on a little Material Girl. Go ahead.
I don't.
Bye, everybody.
You want to play it or you want to sing it?
In a Material.
Some boys kiss me, some boys hug me. I think they're okay.
No. Okay. You didn't ask what mine was.
What's yours?
Like a Prayer.
Oh, life is a mystery, everyone.
Great song.
That's a good song.
All right. See you guys, everybody. Right. Thank you, Woj. Good luck at OBS, guys.